eternity with the Lord Jesus.
And yes, we are back. Feels like it's been sort of a busy summer with three different trips in the last couple of months, and we don't plan any more for a little while that I know of, so we'll see what happens. Eva said maybe I should give a little report of some kind, so we found Joshua and Melody in good spirits, and Kessie is growing up. She's crawling. She's a missionary child, so she's not, doesn't appear to be afraid of anybody. She'll go to most anybody they hand her to, which they don't hand her to just anybody, but still, which that's good. We enjoyed their new porch that probably doubled their living space. And they pretty much live on the porch now, and I don't blame them. I would too. The way their house is set up, it just works out nice. We saw Wendy and Galen one day, Monday I guess it was. Enjoyed some time with them. And they seem to be getting along okay too. We got to fly back in one of those little planes about the size of one that crashed there in West Virginia. Little four-seater. Which,
from Mish
to the city. Mish Kolaha, where Wendy is, to the city. We did it in 35 minutes. By the way, going out was about 6 or 6.5 hours. So, by road. They called it road anyway, okay? The road up over the mountain could have been called cobblestone. It was more cobbled than what you would find in the streets, say, of Antigua or wherever there's cobblestone. It was fairly rough. If you went over that, you would probably know why Wendy likes to travel across that standing on the back of a truck rather than in a seat with her back problems. So we made it home last evening about 7:30. After leaving headquarters at 2:10 in the morning. So I was thinking we probably spent as much time sitting at airports as we did flying, probably more actually. So anyway, but that's just kind of the way it goes. All right. So let's just call this message this morning, Back to Basics. Back to Basics. And I simply have this morning a list of Bible verses that over the years have meant quite a bit to me, or came to mean quite a bit to me for various reasons. And I was thinking most of them are fairly positive, and that's probably a good thing. We'll just give them to you. I don't know if you would like the opportunity for when I first put this together, I didn't write the references down, but I went through here the other day of the week and wrote the references in. Some of them I had to look for. I thought I would know most of them, and I did know most of them, but anyway. So we'll start with a few things about God in particular that we ought not forget. Well, about God and His Word. And like I said, these are not always whole verses, just phrases, or sometimes they're whole verses. I try not to go much beyond that for this. So some things to settle into our hearts and not forget about God. Thy word is truth. Can you tell me where to find it? Don't be bashful.
John 17:17.
Okay. Thy word is truth. So here it is. We've got it. This is it. Do you know it? Are you in it? Are you imbibing it? Are you making it your own? We need to be. Paul talked about the washing of the water by the word. It cleanses us. It keeps us clean. We need to have it. It's able to make you wise unto salvation. There's no other way to get wise unto salvation without the word of God in one form or another. I thought about it in the New Testament when they talked about the word of God. They may often have been talking about the preaching of the word of God. Or particularly the preaching of the gospel. How shall we escape? Here's another one. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Hebrews 2 something, okay, yeah, Hebrews 2, 3. And there, you can't take it out of context. I'm talking about God, and that's what I was thinking about was, okay, under the old covenant, it says, every transgression received a just recompense of reward. Every transgression was punished in one way or another, unless there was a sacrifice to take care of it. And then it says, under the new, the much better one, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Add to that one, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Okay, Ezekiel 18, twice. Is he right? It is 18. I didn't write the reference by that one, but anyway, that's what I had in mind. Okay. Another one. Now we'll go to the positive side. You got to have the negative where there is no positive is one thing. If we didn't know what sin does to us, what it does to our relationship with God, the positive, well, it wouldn't be all that positive maybe. But God, who is rich in mercy,
Ephesians 2,
okay. But God, who is rich in mercy, and then it goes on to say, by grace you are saved. It tells how he used to live in sin and in the kingdom of the world, and he says, but God did something about it. He's rich in mercy. He's always rich in mercy. Another one, he is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his presence with exceeding joy. All right, the end of Jude, all right, Jude 24. We often hear that as a benediction. God is able.
Praise God.
And if you're not kept, it's not his fault. It's yours. But he's able to do it. Another one very similar. Faithful is he that calleth you who also will do it. First Thessalonians 5:24, it's actually talking about verse 23 where it says you'll be sanctified body, soul, and spirit to the end, something like that. Faithful is he that doeth it, who calleth you, who also will do it. And so our responsibility is to walk in faith, and he'll do it. All right, another one. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. Everybody should know that, seems like to me. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And a similar one that I like especially is every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. James 1:17. And so God gives only good gifts. Only good gifts. Now, I know if my wife would have died of dysentery or something in Guatemala, it would have been rough. She had a little problem, by the way. Y'all heard of it, some of you. Just sickness, regular Guatemalan sickness, probably. But my God is good. And the assurance of that would bring me through by his grace. It'd be rough. And you've been through some rough things. A lot of us have. But our God is good, and he doesn't allow anything that isn't meant for good in our lives. Think about Job. That's basically what he said when everything happened. All right. Now, let's go on and just look at, those were about God. These are just more general. Maybe they're all about him in a way. And this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. All right, maybe I won't ask you for responses. Figure it out if you can. John 17:3, in Jesus' high priestly prayer. And this is eternal life. Sounds like it might be important to know what eternal life is. That they may know thee, the true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. It's a relationship. This is eternal life. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath shown unto us, that we should be called the sons of God. That's John, 1 John 3, 1 or so. It's not a legal relative relationship. It is. We're his sons and daughters. But it's a living, communing, loving relationship. Something we have to cultivate and keep up. But this is eternal life. Another one. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 1 Corinthians 5:17. We've experienced that. Seems like if we've experienced that, we ought to love that verse. Old things gone, all things new. It's a spiritual reality. It's called the new birth. We are fundamentally different than we were before. Back when we served ourselves, now we serve him. He's given us a new heart. Oh my, you could just go on and on. And so, the next one, you can tell me where to find this one maybe. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice.
Philippians
4:4. Okay. Rejoice evermore. It says elsewhere. Well, that's 1 Thessalonians 5. Rejoice. Why not? If we are new creatures in Christ, why wouldn't we rejoice? If we are persecuted for Christ's sake, why wouldn't we rejoice? If everything goes wrong, it's a bad day. Why shouldn't we rejoice? We have God. We have God himself living in us. There's a charismatic man back in the 70s who wrote a book called The Power of... Well, anyway, the idea was... And he took it probably a little too far, but simply rejoicing would take care of all your problems. Because when you do what God tells you to do, God acts. Well, he's right. Maybe not totally in everything he said. He went a little far, okay? But you would be surprised the difference God will make in your day if you simply rejoice when you do not feel like it. Try it and see. It's called faith. It's called obeying God. All right. And God honors that. And we'll get to that one after a while. Them that honor me, I will honor. All right. Another one that's very similar. In fact, it's right next door there in 1 Thessalonians 5. In everything... In everything, do what? Why? In Christ Jesus concerning you. All right. In everything, give thanks for this. Okay, this is the will of God concerning you. In everything, give thanks. It's very closely related probably to Romans 8:28. And I've heard people say, but it doesn't say for everything give thanks. Well, maybe not. I'm not sure there's a lot of difference, okay? All right. Next one. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, and this is close by, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I don't know. I've heard that verse quoted like it answers all the questions. To me, it always raised a couple. But anyway, faith is the substance, the reality of things hoped for. Even though we don't see them yet, with our physical eyes, we see them, we see the invisible. And to me, that helps a lot. Hebrews 11 talks about seeing invisible things, oh, I don't know, half a dozen times down through there. That's what faith is, simply believing God and what he says and then acting on it. And the acting on it, faithfulness, is part of the definition of faith. If you don't have faithfulness, you don't have faith. I'm going to say it that way. Faith pleases God. It's based on invisible and often totally understood, misunderstood realities. At least other people don't understand them. Here's another one, which maybe could be first. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first, the greatest commandment. It's fundamental, it's basic, square one, call it whatever you want, but Jesus said, this is where you start. I noticed in Revelation to one of the churches, I didn't check which one, he said, nevertheless, I have this against thee, that thou hast left thy first love. And I think probably most of us know who the idol is that gets in the way. If you don't, go find out. Ask somebody. I won't tell you. As much as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. We know that one. Matthew 25, Jesus said it. And this is basically the second commandment. Inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. Love people. Love people. In doing so, you love Christ. Help people. Give to people. Give of yourself for people. That's the second commandment. Live that way. Another one, God loveth a cheerful giver. 1 Corinthians 9. Not the one who sings that song, it gives us inward pain when we part, when he puts his money in the offering, you know. But the one who loves to give. In fact, the word, the Greek word here, they tell us, is the word we get our word hilarious from. A hilarious giver. And so Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. I didn't write that reference down. Where is it? Someone tell me. Where did Jesus say that?
It's in one of Paul's writings.
It's in one of Paul's writings, I'm pretty sure. At least it's not in the Gospels, but he said that Jesus said it, or somewhere. Or maybe it's Acts 20. Well, I'm not sure. Hunt that one up. I'd be curious to know. But not while I'm preaching. Just wait. Okay. All right. Really? It's more blessed to give than to receive. Sure. Really. Jesus said it. It's true. Thy word is truth. Sometimes we forget. Another one. Let us not be weary in well-doing. For we shall reap in due time if we faint not. Galatians 6. In fact, it's right in there about where it's talking about sowing and reaping. Don't get weary in doing well and doing in loving others and serving others and giving of your life for others, for in due time you will reap. We saw that in the lesson today. Today, you are being persecuted. In the future, when the Lord comes, you will have rest, and they'll be persecuted, or they'll have tribulations. A little different than that, but still, the reaping is coming. Another one. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Another first. I don't know. I found this verse very early on as a Christian and just kind of took it and tried to believe it. And you know the context. It's talking about how God will take care of your food and clothing and your needs if you put everything first. And so our first love needs to triumph over all those other things that we do need to deal with daily, the physical and financial needs and all of that. God said, seek me first. I'll take care of them. And somehow we need to put that into practice in our lives. We won't all come out at the same place in the way we do it, but we need somehow to take that home and make it part of the way we live. And yep, we're not all going to end up at the same place. I said that. But if we aren't taking this commandment and trying to apply it, we are falling short. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Philippians 1:21, I think, yeah. Paul said it. I don't know if I've ever felt I've quite attained to being able to say it fully and know that I mean it, but I try to. So it's a goal. And we have to deal with life. We have to deal with the necessities, the job, the family relationships, the problems, all the weddings, the illnesses, the cancer, the weaknesses, the struggles, the dreams, whatever. That's all part of it. But somehow over all of that, this commitment that in life or in death, Jesus Christ will be glorified in my body. Here's one that I, for many years, have enjoyed thinking about. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. And then he gives two of them. One's a quote from Numbers 50:16, and the other, I'm not sure, I guess it maybe isn't a quote from anywhere, but anyway, he gives it's a two-part seal. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. This is 2 Timothy 2:19, by the way. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And it's an interesting, excuse me. The context where that comes from is interesting. It's Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, where they're standing up and saying, well, you aren't the only one that has a right to lead. We are somebody too. And Moses says in the King James, the Lord will show who is his. And that's the quote here. The Lord knoweth who is his. He knows us. We know him. There's a relationship. And the second part of this seal, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. The follower of Christ is not going to make excuse for sinning. Another one. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto him, which is your reasonable service. You can tell me where that one is, right? All right, Romans 12:1. A living sacrifice. We are not our own. We're bought with a price. That's Paul in 1 Corinthians 6. And it's not a... We're not Indian givers. It's not a one-time thing that we've done and then we're done. This is present your bodies a living sacrifice. They put it on the altar and killed it. Not us. Well, yes, we put us on the altar and kill us and just keep us dead, but he makes us alive, and our life is his from then on. At least it's supposed to be. But we live in the flesh, and the old flesh begs for it back, and we have to deal with that. We have to just keep killing him so that we can keep living. Another one, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, for all that is the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Well, that's three verses, 1 John 2:15 and after. I like that one because it tells me what the world is. It's the lust of the eyes. Gimme, gimme, gimme. I want it. It's the lust of the flesh. Passion. I want to have fun. I like doing it. It pleases me. And the pride of life. I want to be somebody. Look at me. Hey, ain't I great? Put me up. That's the world. That's the way the world operates. And when I allow those kind of things in my life, I'm being worldly. And the world's going to pass away. But the one who does the will of God is not going to pass away. Next, remember Lot's wife. Follows right on the heels of the world, and there's the reason I put it there. You know the context, or maybe you don't. It's talking about the Lord's return and being ready. And if you're out in the field or you're up on the roof, don't go back into the house. Remember Lot's wife. Don't look back. Well, of course not. When the trumpet sounds, we want to go. But what if, when the trumpet sounds, I'm busily running about my own business, building up my little self? I don't have time to go have devotions and make sure I'm okay for the day when that happens. I don't have time to make right whatever needs making right. Remember Lot's wife. Live ready. Live ready. Another one. This is what I would call a basic principle, basic spiritual law. Maybe it's not all spiritual either, but God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. And so Peter says, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. So, Christ-like humility, serving others, are our highest goals. If you want to be great in the kingdom of God, become a servant. You want to be greater in the kingdom of God, keep serving more. Is it okay to want to be great in the kingdom of God? I puzzled over that as a young Christian. Is it okay to want to be great in God's kingdom? I think it is, as long as you realize what you're doing. And the kind of greatness you want is, I want God to be glorified in me. I don't want to be great in the Lord, in the world's eyes. He must increase, I must decrease. If that's your greatness, if your greatness is climbing down the ladder, then it's okay. But no, you can't seek to be great by doing it. Okay. We need to fear pride. We need to fear self-expression. At least selfish expression. And renounce them. Sometimes we simply need to decide to say, you know, I'm not going to say that. It's not going to sound right. It's going to sound like I'm putting me up or whatever. I've had to do that, and there are times I've forgotten to do that and had to spank myself. So anyway. God resists the proud. He resists the proud. He always resists the proud. He always resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble, even if it's a man like Ahab, the worst of the kings. When he humbled himself, God said, hey, look at him. Because he humbled himself, I'm not going to do it to him, but to his child. God notices humility. Okay, some more. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. He that resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. Romans 13:1. We know that verse. And I'm not talking about COVID here. I'm talking about the way we live. You cannot resist authorities and expect God's blessing. You just can't do it. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. 1 Samuel 15, to Saul, Samuel said that. What's rebellion? Well, disobeying authorities. It's that simple. Doesn't matter if you're sweetly obedient. I remember Larry Showalter using that term one time in a sermon. He said some Christians they're just sort of sweetly disobedient. Excuse me, I said it wrong. Thank you, Jennifer. I saw you mouthing something there. Sweetly disobedient. They disobey, but they're so nice about it. Still disobedient is still rebellion. And they like to dress it up in spirituality. Yay, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, says Samuel. Oh, really? Thank you. I spent all day flying and traveling yesterday, so I might need some help. Okay. And we all know people like that. They're going against what they know is truth, and yet they're just so spiritual. Here's one related. Obey them that have the rule over you, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it joyfully and not with grief. Hebrews 13:17. So, yes, even church authorities we are to obey because they have to give an account. That's conference and district and maybe even local ministry. Not that we have any authority. We don't. We are servants of God and try to carry out His will under His authority. And we are responsible for you too and for your actions, by the way. So don't forget that. Anyway, we'll stop there. Another one. Let us do good unto all men. Especially who?
Those of the household of faith.
All right, those of the household of faith. Them that are of the household of faith is the exact wording. And so we are doing good to anyone. But especially when it comes to brothers and sisters in the church, we want to do good. We receive them. We love them. We love it, the church, even as Christ loved it and gave himself for it. We love each other, the people in the church too, by the way. The church is not an add-on. The church is God's kingdom now. It's Christ's body. And we're part of it. And I have written here, and I thought about it as I looked at it. Christ is no more to us than his church is. You want to know Christ? Well, he's known not only through the word, but through his body. And okay, so we went to Guatemala, and I'm on the MAM board, and there's some problems in some congregations there, and of course, with a board meeting, you're discussing all this stuff. And after a while, you start thinking, whee, this problem, that problem, and over there's one too. And, but wait a minute. Whoa, come back here. Stop. You can't focus on the problems only in the church. There's lots of good in the churches. Look at all these brothers and sisters sitting right here, for example. And Christ is working in you. His God's Spirit is doing good things in your life. I know that. And there's always going to be problems. There's always people. And you're one of them, right? A person, that is. And so you make sure that you're not the problem But love the church and do what it takes to build it. That's what Christ came for, so that you would be the kind of person that would build his church. So that, how'd the lesson say it? That he would be glorified in you and you in him. All right, you shall receive power. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and shall be witnesses unto me. And it goes on to say where all that will be. Acts 1:8. If any have not the Spirit of God, he's none of his. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So if you are his, the Spirit has come in. Walk in the Spirit. What's that mean? Just allow the Spirit to control you. And then the purpose he's given, and you shall be witnesses unto me. Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel. Thought about that in Guatemala a good bit these last couple of weeks. But some translators translate this a little differently. As you go, preach the gospel. They don't necessarily make it the command, but as you go, as you walk in this world, wherever you walk, preach the gospel, proclaim it. Another one, and again, this is a what I would call a spiritual law. It's unbreakable. I mean, it's going to operate no matter what. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. He that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. All right, so Sister Emma, she's a young Christian. Can she do much for the Lord? Well, probably not what we would call much. And so in the little bit that she can do, if she's faithful in it, God will give her more to do. If you're faithful in being cheerful, if you're faithful in obeying your parents, if you're faithful, this could go to any one of us, by the way, simply doing the small things that God calls us to do faithfully makes us better able for God to use us in larger ways. Well, we call them larger. I don't know. It's a little hard to tell in the kingdom of God just how that works. If he that is least is actually greatest. Okay. Do what you're supposed to be doing. Right in the corner where you are, the way the song says. If you're sweeping the floor, sweep it as well as you can. For Jesus' sake. Does that make a difference? Does that make a difference, Regina? Miss school teacher? Sure it does. Sometimes we're called to do things we don't feel like doing, not what we would want to do. Sometimes it feels like a drudgery. Just keep doing the same thing over and over again. Do it faithfully. Do it faithfully. It'll pay. So Paul said, moreover, it is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. When the Lord comes, be found doing what you should be doing and doing it faithfully. That's the way to be ready. That's the only way to be ready. And this one, oh, I mentioned it earlier. Another spiritual law that I don't think there is no way to change it. Them that honor me, I will honor. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. So the decision comes up tomorrow morning, you know, what do I do? Do the thing that honors the Lord, not the one that may dishonor him. do what you do because you love the Lord and you want to honor him, and he'll honor you. Whatever that means, I'm not sure I know totally. It's pretty closely related to he that is faithful to that which is least, I think. But the one who says, that doesn't matter, I'll do what I want. They that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. And I think you probably could just say, they that despise me, I will despise. He that lightly esteems me isn't going to be honored. So I think about my choices. Another one, and I don't remember when I first read this one. I remember putting it on my bulletin board when I was still at home, so I was 17 or 18. Brand new Christian, must have found it somewhere, but anyway. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Why? For out of it are the issues of life. Guard your heart with all diligence, because what you allow yourself to think about makes you what you are. Be careful what you put in, because what you put in makes you what you are, and it comes out again. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Proverbs 4:23, if you want the reference. Like Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Every choice I make helps to make me what I'll be for the next choice. And then just a couple to finish up. Without me, you can do nothing, Jesus said. John 15:5. Nothing without him. Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, getting to the end of my throat again. Who for the joy that was set before him, the hope that we saw in the lesson this morning, the word hope wasn't there, but the hope was, endured the cross, despising the shame. And I noticed in the Sunday school lesson that word endure persecution was there, and I looked over at the Spanish, and the word there is a word that I would call, or if I were giving an English equivalent, was support. Supported. He was supported. He stood up under that persecution. For the joy that was set before him, he took the nails, he took the spear, he took the whip, he took all that stuff, because there was joy ahead. He had the hope of this group right here being part of his body. Well, we have a hope too. And the last one I'll give here is, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Comes out in 2 Peter 1 after talks about adding all those things and abounding in them and growing in them. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Take these things that I've talked about this morning and abound in them. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto us. Let's have a song.